In the morning, love him in the noontime, love him, yes, love him, love him when the sun goes down. Let's praise him, praise him, yes, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, oh yes, praise him. I'll praise him when the sun goes down. Let's serve him this morning. Serve him, yes, serve him. Serve him in the morning, serve him in the noontime. I'll serve him,
oh, just serve him.
I'll serve him when the sun goes down. Let's love him. Love him. Love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him, yes, I'll love him. I will love him when the sun goes down. Let's praise him, just praise him. I'll praise him. I'll praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him. I'll praise him, yes, I'll praise him when the sun goes down. One more time. I'll praise him, yes, praise him. I will praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him. I'll praise him, yes, I'll praise him when the sun goes down. Amen. God bless you, folks. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
You know, I thank God for getting me here safely and for every day that he gives me. I know as well as I'm standing here, I'm only alive because his hand is on my life. You know, and he's put me through a lot of changes since I've been sitting under this message. And now I'm battling my biggest fear. I've always dreaded it, is the fear of being alone. And I know God's with me, but I'm talking about human being.
That's
compassion.
Right. Amen.
You know, when I go home, yeah, you can call brother, sister on the phone and all that, but you're still alone, you know. And this is a big battle for me, and Satan's been fighting me every inch of the way, but I know that I'll overcome.
Amen.
Because I put the word on.
That's
him.
Right.
Amen.
And you know, I'm just so glad to see that we're so close to getting out of here.
Yes.
You know, I've been watching the world news, and we got three wars going on at one time. And now Putin wants to get with China and North Korea and become one big force. And then we got all these killings and school killings and all this stuff, disasters going on in the United States. There's never been a time like this. So
Amen.
We're so close to getting out of here. All I have time to do is make sure I'm right with God.
Amen.
And every time this word comes across,
yes,
I examine myself till I'm exhausted.
Right.
I want to make sure that I'm in the faith.
Yes.
And that I believe this with all my heart.
Amen.
You know, I've been sitting under this for a while, and I've never had a problem with it.
Never.
I've never argued it.
That's right.
I've never walked away from it for good. And, you know, I've always come back.
That's right.
And I know it's my desire that God keeps me here. That desire comes from Him, not me.
Right.
My desire to come to church comes from Him, not me. My desire to want to serve Him and be better for Him and change for Him comes from Him, not me. Without Him, I'm nothing.
That's it.
Without Him, there is no good in me.
That's right.
My flesh is of filthy rags. And the only good that's in me is God Almighty Himself.
Amen.
And I praise His holy name.
Amen, amen.
You know, in that day, He said, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But we're sitting here saying, Lord, we've done nothing. You've done it.
Right.
You're the one who's done it. If you see any good come out of me, thank God for it. That's our testimony. See, the testimonies of the world is different from our testimony.
Come on.
Because our rock is not the same.
That's right.
And, you know, and just one of the announcements that's going to be coming up and stuff, when we went and took that trip to Brother Fred Mullins and that brother preached, our rock is not the same as theirs. It's really not, by comparison, far comparison. I mean, light years ahead. So I'm just glad for what we get here.
Yeah.
And I was going to have our sister come up and do a little special.
I just want to say I'm really thankful to be here today, and thankful my sister was able to come join me. I told her when she comes to visit, I would play, and little did I know, I'm like, oh, I gotta play, you know. But on that note, as I was playing this weekend, my flute gave out on me, and I got so frantic, so I had to rush it to the flute hospital to get it there. But they said, okay, well, it'll be ready in 2 weeks. I'm like, so anyway, I got my, with student flute, the flute I had, and I said, well, that was not going to get me on this one. I'm going to play this flute, you
That's
know,
right.
I'm going to play it. So I just practiced and practiced it. And then it was another store I was going to call. They said, well, we can get it in 1 week. I said, oh. So I rushed back down the highway, got my flute, and they said, well, they said you'd have it in 1 week. Well, I said, yeah, you said you'll have it in two. So they said, well, We'll get it ready. We'll get it ready. And on the way, mind you, on the way, I was praying when I got it. I said, when I get to that store, my flute's going to be ready. I don't know how. I was thinking of Brother Jay's preaching when he was talking about Joshua and how he sealed the sun and the moon. I'm like, well, my flute surely isn't that hard. If he can do something like that, my flute's going to be ready.
Amen.
So, and it was. It was. And I just praised God all the way back home that I have had my flute. But on that note, I said, I'm not going to let the devil win on this. And just because, you know, I don't have the better flute, I still have one, and I'm going to play.
Amen.
So thankful
use
that
what you got.
He gave it
That's
to me.
Right.
He gave it back to me. So.
Go ahead on this.
All right. I think I got everything on here.
Amen.
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 Thank you. get that going. There is never a time that I come to the house of God that I want to sit silent.
Amen.
And not praise him.
Amen.
Not an hour like this. This morning, I was thinking about that message that Brother Isaac, Brother Jeremiah preached.
Oh,
and he talked about the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Let me testify just a little bit.
Yeah.
What God was saying to you, it doesn't matter how much you messed up. He took his inheritance, all the hard-earned money
right.
his daddy had got him.
Yeah, yeah.
He got it early, went, wasted it, and then all his friends went. And he said, when he his daddy told him, no matter how low you sank, know what you've done, how many times you screwed up, just come on home.
Just come home.
Come on home. It doesn't matter about the money. I love it. He said, no man cometh unto the Father unless the Father draw him. And he said, whoever comes to me, there ain't no way I'm going to put you out. Isn't that wonderful to know?
Amen.
I praise him. He came to me when I was too dumb and too messed up to even holler for help. He came to me. I never went looking for
Amen.
Help.
Amen.
I praise him with all my heart. So, that being said, knowing this hour, like somebody testified this morning, nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, folks have lost their mind,
yeah.
demons are running loose because they know, Satan knows the fullness of God is here, and here we are.
Yes.
Let us praise him and lift him up. So Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Moore to come over here and Isaiah to come over here because, like I said, I always want to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing a song. Let us give God glory. Let's get in right away because it ain't time ain't long.
Amen.
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 Amen. This song.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
You like that one?
Crazy.
I like that. Thank you, Jesus.
I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. Tread in the paths of righteousness. Be my aid when Satan and sin oppress. I am mm-hmm. lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray.
Sister Mel, I see you coming.
If I don't get up and move, I'll sit in my seat. I'm just thankful to be here this morning, and I'm very grateful for the last few messages that we've had.
Yes.
They have really, really touched me. And it started when the pastor said years ago that you have to get this for yourself.
Yes.
And then between Brother Jeremiah and Brother Jay, it's just, they're just opening that door and letting me know that it greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And whether I'm fighting it or not, I don't know, but somebody told me it's not a struggle. You're dying to yourself. And that takes a lot. And, well, maybe not. But you're dying to yourself, so you just have to recognize what's going on.
Amen.
And, you know, I don't know who said it, because everybody speaks from God's heart, that, you know, wearing dresses is not that serious. You know, everything counts. So do what's necessary to get this word.
Protect.
And be that that live voice. And that's what I want to be. And, you know, just trying to do that a little more throughout my life. People look at me differently. They do. They don't know that I'm in my closet struggling to pick something. And I actually say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today?
Beautiful.
And that's what I do.
Sure.
But in the world, that's all they see. And I'm happy to walk this walk and do what I can in my power with God's help. Lead me, Lord.
Yes.
You know, here I am. How do you say it? When you want that prayer, here I am, Lord. Send me.
Amen. Amen.
Send me,
Amen.
Lord. I just want to do your will. And,
Amen.
That's all. God bless you.
Amen. Brother Kevin.
Yes, Lord.
Looking sharp.
I just want to thank God for being here this morning. You know, one thing that's been striking me with these services, Pastor Moore mentioned at the end of service on Wednesday when Jay preached, you know, this is the ego age. And you're not going to surprise the bride. You know, you're just not. I mean, you know, and it struck me, and I was sitting there, we can see a spirit. We can. We're not, nobody in this church is dumb. You can see it. So let's not play like we don't know. We know. We know what's going on. So it's the ego age. I mean, ego can see anything, right? I mean, that's what we talk about. We can. I mean, let's be honest, though. I know, you know when you have a spirit on you. You know it. Everybody in the church knows it. You're not fooling nobody. You're not. I mean, and I'll just be sitting there like, you know what? That's so true. You know, I thank God that we can see things that other people can't see. They can't see that. This world is gone. When I say it's gone, it is gone. And I thank God that this bride is not fooled by anything. The world condition, it has to be this way. I mean, it is very, very sad, but we know it has to get to this. We have to get to this point. We do. And I just thank God for that. I mean, I really do. I thank God that this flesh is going to be done away with. It is. I mean, it's going to be done away with. And I just thank God that this message is true no matter how I feel or how it would. You know, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. God's truth is always going to be real no matter what, even no matter how you feel, because it's not about feelings.
Amen.
It's not
Amen.
About that. It's about the word of God. And
Amen.
I thank
Amen.
God that it does come strong. If I'm sitting there getting rebuked, thank God for that, because at least I know that I'm still a child of God no matter what. Even if I'm down, I'm messed up, at least I can accept the word and you know this is the truth no matter what.
That's
I mean,
right.
I just no I thank what. God for that. And I just didn't want to sit down on God, because when Pastor Moore said that, I said, you know, that's so true, because this is the ego age. And you're not going to fool this bride. I don't care. You're just not. So if you think you're going to fool the bride, I'm trying to tell you, you're sadly mistaken. So I just want to thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say something real quick here before the young people get up. Looks like they're set to go. You know, sitting here thinking about, you know, lead me. I'm thankful to know how that leadership works. You know, a lot of people looking out in space somewhere trying to be led. And, no, it's the ministry. How can you, you know, hear except to be preached? And but yet that inside teacher leads. It takes what the minister brings, and it talks to you all day long and ties it together. It's beautiful to me, you know. And I'm just thankful for the balance that we have here. You know, when we pray for something, when we believe for something, we count it done. The devil's got no hold on us. Our faith is perfect.
That's right.
Yeah, we count it a finished work. But yet, you know, I was reading about, you know, Joshua. You know, and God gave him the land. But they had to clean the land. They had to do a little fighting along the way. You know, but that was no problem. That's the next step. We're going to fight. We're going to clean the land. The land's ours.
Yes.
You know, it's a how that faith works, you know, that it's not just sit back and let God do it all. No, God's in you. He's going to fight in you, you know. And I'm thankful for the balance, because that gives a perfect peace all the way through.
Amen.
I have a peace knowing that He's given me the land.
Yes.
And I have a peace knowing that I have everything I need to fight and to overcome in every situation. I thank God for the balance. Amen.
Amen. Let's get the youth up.
Amen.
Micah, if you'd come up.
Sing, y'all.
This is the era.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you.
Kids, if you could just stay here. You know, at this time, you know, I want to get the voices up.
All right.
I want to get the voices up right now. You know, I was thinking about, you know, because I'm nervous when I come in here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, what can I bring, Lord? You know, Sister Mel blessed me because she came up and she said, can the worshipers arise? I said, there it is. There it is right there. If God didn't speak to me, that was it right there. And so I just wanted to get the voices up and... and let the worshipers arise.
Amen. Thank you,
Brother. While everybody's getting ready, I just want to put my two cents in.
Right.
I just want to thank God for being here.
Yes.
And thank God for having the desire to be here. And the other thing I want to say, too, is I never want to leave the place the same that I came in.
Right.
You know, that's my desire, to constantly grow and be an example. Another thing I just want to say is I just want to give God praise in advance.
Yes.
Yeah.
That song, just giving praise in advance. You don't have to wait till it happens to give him praise. You're when you
right.
have the faith, you said you're acting like it's already happened.
Right.
So if you believe it's already happened, then you act accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't wait till after it happened, then give me praise.
That's
you give
right.
me praise before, during
right.
it, and after
yes.
it. So I just want to thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Just let the worshipers arise. We'll sing that. Excited about this.
Amen.
Appreciate the way the service has been going. I'm looking
yes.
forward to hearing the word.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Elise, can you stand over that way so I can see David?
Amen.
Father, I see you drawn. Let's start out.
Amen.
Then no worries, we got it.
Father, I see that you were drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let's sing that again. Hallelujah.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let the worshipers,
worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
I surrender.
I surrender in my all, sisters. My all, I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Hallelujah. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Brothers, help me out. Hallelujah. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Verse 2, Father, I hear it growing louder. Father, I hear it growing louder. The song of your redeemed. As the saints, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Oh, let the worshiper arise. Oh,
let the sons and the daughters
sing.
I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King.
Oh, let the worshipers arise. Father, I hear it growing louder. Help me sing it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, I hear it growing louder. The song of your redeemed. As the
saints of every nation are awakening to sing, from our hearts there comes an anthem.
Oh, hear the heavens ring. One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, let the
worshipers
arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
I surrender in my all, my all.
I surrender to
wonderful.
That's beautiful. I'm gonna give a testimony right here before I turn over the mic. I just like prime real estate here. Almost if you show up at a concert early and you get to the front seat, it's like, well, I'm gonna take advantage of this spot here. So I'm just glad to be here this morning. No place I'd rather be. God's just been blessing this church more and more with the word of God. I'm just encouraged by the young people. I'm encouraged by the testimonies. It's encouraging to see a sister say, you know, hey, doing my part ain't that hard.
Oh, right.
It's encouraging when I hear a young person say, doing my part ain't that hard.
Right.
That gives me strength to say that doing my part ain't that hard. You know, we try to make things big deals, but sometimes they're not big deals, you know.
That's
we
right.
make mountains out of molehills, and it's doing anything for God is just easy.
Amen.
He's been blessing us so much with the word and the revelation and this leadership that we get here. Anything I could do for him would be almost not enough, but I praise God that I get the opportunity to come to church, serve God amongst believers, and I am very, very encouraged about what I'm about to hear tonight.
Amen.
This morning, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to be here, and you know, we're talking about Joshua, and the thing that really, Brother Joshua, really comes to my mind is he was fully convinced.
Yes.
You know, he had seen everything that Moses had been through, and
sure.
I was just thinking about that for us. The ages, we're fully convinced.
Yes, sir.
We know that God's on our side.
Amen.
If not just the ages, I'm fully convinced of what God's done in this church.
Yes.
I'm fully convinced what God's done for me. So I really understand that Brother Joshua knew who he was, and I really like that. And I'm just going to read really quick. Amen. Joshua 1 and 9. Amen. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Yeah. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Amen. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest.
Yes.
God bless Amen. Brother Joshua.
Amen. Amen. Let me get the announcements out of the way here. So Kentucky trip, don't forget about that, March 30th to the 31st. And then we have the Men's Fellowship, April 27th. Looking forward to that. Women also have a fellowship because we couldn't leave you guys out. June 1st is when that's taking place. And then we have a pastor visiting Brother Fred Mullins' church March the 20th. So he's trying to double dip before the big Kentucky trip. So I see that. And then just keep your eye out for the brothers. The mowing list is up, so go ahead and sign up. Try not to take too much because I want to do something too. So let's go ahead and sing song 37, Have Thine Own Way. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
Amen.
Not to relate him.
No.
Well, you know how it is with old, they slow. We get there now. Don't fool yourself. Oh, I'm thankful this morning. God has been so good to us.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, blessed us and blessed us and blessed us.
Amen.
You know his word is so great. Yes. I just love it.
Oh yes.
And you know I depend on it.
Amen. Yes.
I believe it. And he just proves it all the time.
Yes, he does.
If thou can believe it,
yeah,
amen. All things are possible.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he said, "Ask in his name."
That's right.
You get what you ask for.
Amen.
Amen. I think I might try to make a joyful noise.
Amen.
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 That's something I never tried too much.
It's all right.
Amen.
That was first time.
Oh Lord, lead me.
Amen. Amen.
If you lead me,
yes.
I'll be able to stand.
Yes.
Lord, I'm your child.
Amen, amen.
Oh, lead me. Oh, Lord. Hey, glory.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm your child. Oh, lead me. Lord, I'm your child.
Amen.
Oh, if you lead me, I'll be able to stand. Yes, Lord, lead me. Oh, lead me. Oh, Lord. Oh, you just lead me.
Amen.
Oh Lord, you lead me. If you lead, I'll be able to stand. Lord, I'm depending on you.
Amen.
Just lead me.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to trust you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, you lead me.
Amen.
Oh, oh, lead me, Lord. Oh, you lead me. If you lead me, I'll be able to stand. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, yes.
God bless you, Brother Lockett. That's our elder. Have thine own way, Lord, and then we'll get him up. God bless you.
Yes.
Amen.
Have thine own way.
Again, yes, have thine own way, Lord. Mean it when you sing it. Have thine own way, yes, hold o'er my being. Absolute sway, just filled with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only.
Jesus, we come before you this morning knowing without you we can do nothing, but with you all things are possible. And Lord, we want to sing this song this morning and not just let it be words, but let us sing it from our revelation and from our heart and our understanding, knowing that, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to take all the fuss and fight out of me and let me just surrender, Lord, to be a prisoner unto you. Lord, that's what you want out of us, just to totally surrender to you, that you can do with our lives what you want to do with them. Oh, it may not be what the world wants to see, but Lord, I'm not here to please the world. I'm here to please you. It may not be what the people think that I need to be, and I may not be what they think I should be, but Lord, as long as I'm what you want me to be, have your own way with our lives in such a way that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, ask you to touch those this morning that are sick and couldn't be here today. Lord, there's some cold and sicknesses going around, and rather than infect the body, they decided to stay home and listen to the internet. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless those homes. And Lord, send this word to their house as you've sent it to this one. And Father, we ask you to just move in the place today. Move in this place like never before. That Lord, when we leave here, we can leave with a better understanding of not only who you are, but who we are. For when we recognize who we are, we really do see who you are, because it's one and the same. Lord, I've opened the book in front of the people. Lord, open our hearts that we can receive your word, that we can hear your word. Lord, your preacher's here, but Lord, move me aside. Humble me before you, Lord, knowing that I have to fall on my face before you, knowing that I can't do this on my own. I'm not even worthy to do this, but Lord Jesus, your word makes us worthy. It makes us worthy as a hearer and a speaker of the word. It makes us worthy. For truly, Lord, you've come and paid the price for it all. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning. Bind any hindering spirit that might try to hinder the congregation from receiving that which you have laid before us. Ask you to open up our hearts so that, Lord, if I've never understood the word, today when I walk out of here, I'll understand it better than I've ever understood, because the Holy Ghost has got in the mix and you've walked these aisles and revealed yourself personally to them. Have your way this morning. Continue to bless this body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again this morning. It's good to be able to have God move in the congregation and be in a place where you can hear from God. I know we've got quite a few people out this morning. They're text me and they're not feeling well, one thing or the other, but you know, they're all tuning in, so God bless you and pray that you get well soon. Get back to the house, because this is the place we need to be. It's good to have you all here, and Brother Bean, good to see you. Good to have you here. And Christy and your sis, Robin, good to have you. Thank you for coming. It's, you know, this place is it's not a big place, but it's not a small place. But it's a place with people who love the Word of God. That's what people can't understand about this church. They say that you all love the Word of God, and but you have issues and problems, but you still love the Word of God. And it's like, you know, I always say I've got a real church with real people with real problems. I don't want you to put on a facade and try to put on a front and make us act like we're something that we're not. Be yourself. You know, if you're born again, God will direct your path. If you're not born again, God will not direct your path. So you might as well be yourself. No need put on a front, because we, like Brother Kevin said, this is the Eagle Age. We see you. You know, we see everything. Talk to a man for 2 minutes and you know where he's at. We don't even need 2 minutes in the hour that we're living. So be real. That's what I like, a group of people who will be real. Be honest. Start being honest with yourself. Then you can be honest with others. You can't be honest with others if you're not honest about yourself. If you're putting on a facade and you're one thing here and another thing somewhere else, then you need to change one of the two places. I don't even care which one it is. You know, you say, well, that's awful. You should say change and become this. No, if it ain't in you, I don't want you to become this because you can't. And if it's in you, stop being that because that's not you either. Like I said Wednesday night, I said, you know, I realized sitting there listening to the message, I said, the only thing that I've really been employed with for 43, 44, whatever it's been now, only thing I've only been employed with for 40 plus years is this message. I've left jobs. I've started jobs. I've had jobs. And none of those jobs are going to keep me from serving God. When God says it's time to move, I move. The last one I left is because I woke up at 6 in the morning and God said it's time to go. And I went and talked to HR and I told them what God told me. And she said, Nate, we love you, but you got to go. So when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. So don't spend too much time trying to build your kingdom down here. Because this world is not my home. I don't come from here. I come from a city whose builder and ruler is God. The maker is God himself. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Not for everybody, but for you. So if he's got a place prepared for you, don't spend so much time trying to fit in down here. Because you'll never fit in down here. If you're a seed of God, you will never fit in down here. As much as you try, I tried to. I got out on the dance floor, couldn't dance. Tried cussing, couldn't cuss. I was a broken man out there in the world. Trying to fit in. And while I'm in the middle of the floor trying to do my little thing, I'm like, this, you're not even having fun. You ain't even enjoying yourself. And I had a hunger in me for something that they didn't have. I had a pull on me that they didn't have. And when I finally said, okay, I got to find this. I didn't even know what I was looking for. I really didn't. I said, I got to find God. I went to the Apostolic Church because I thought that's the last place I left him. When my mama said we didn't have to go to church, I said, yes, ma'am. And I was at the Apostolic Church. I didn't know she'd come into the message from that point. But I wasn't worried about where she was going because I wasn't going. I had determined in my heart. I went to school, to Sunday school, all my life. And my mama said, I have a choice. I can either go to church with her or stay home. I said, I'll take number two. Door number two. And I didn't darken the door again. And didn't plan on it. Didn't want to. And then somewhere along the line, that seed that was always in there, he didn't put it there later on. It was always there. That hunger was always there. That's why you can't fit with the world. Because when you try to fit out there, you don't fit out there. You try to be churchy, you're not churchy. You had to find where God wanted you. And then when I finally started looking for God, I went to the Apostolic Church. And when I went up there and spoke in tongues, I remember standing there in the gates of Bethesda Temple coming out of the baptistry. And I stood up there and looked at about 400 or 500 people. And I said to myself, there's got to be more than this. What did that? That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I just had a hunger. Now, I gotta correct Brother Mike because Mike's saying it's all God. It ain't all God. That hunger that you have, Mike, it didn't come from God. That comes from you. That's the thing that God loves about you, that you love him, that you hunger after him, that you're thirst after him. See, it's you going after God that made God go after you. You didn't have nothing to do with salvation, but you had everything to do with your love for the truth. See, if you wanted God, God wanted you. If you don't want God, God don't want you. If you thirst, if you hunger, you hunger and thirst. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. You shall be filled. You hunger, I'll fill you. You thirst, I'll fill you. That's a contract with God. But don't sell yourself short, Mike. You got something to do with this. That love for the truth ain't from God. That love for the truth is from you. And because God knows the end from the beginning, and because God by his foreknowledge can already see you, he already knew you were coming. He already knew you were going to love him. He already knew you would accept him. Therefore, God did predestinated you. He gave you a little bit of himself. When God predestinated you, he gave you a little bit of himself. Because you loved him. You loved him. And because you loved him, he gave you a piece of himself. Because the only way that you can have eternal life is to have God's own life in you. And you don't get God's life by coming and joining church. You don't get God's life by coming and giving your heart to God. You don't get God's life by joining and marrying and speaking in tongues or doing any of that. You get God's life because God foreordained you from before the foundation of the world. And when you took your first breath when they spanked you, and your first cry when you took your first breath, God then put not only that breath of life in you, but because ye are sons, he then put a seed of himself, a part of his eternal life in you. And that eternal life followed you all your life. That's why you don't fit. That's why you can't go to the same places the world goes. Because ye are sons. Amen. Only reason he saved you, it was because ye are sons. So he didn't make you a son. David didn't just become my son. David came out of my loins. He's a part of he's flesh of my flesh. Bone of my bone. Part of me.
Amen.
Now we're talking about a son of God. You're a son of God even before you were a manifested son of God. David was my son before he was manifested. That's how that works. So don't sell yourself short. You love God. You want God. You need God. And when you heard the word and fell in love with the word, God already saw that. And God saw that and said, I'm going to make you a part of me. I'm going to give you a little bit of part of me. Because you got to understand, when you're born again, it's no longer you.
Right.
It's no longer I. But it's Christ that lives in me. That's how that works. Oh, he first loved you. Because that happened from before the foundation of the world. But because ye are sons, that's the only reason you get the Spirit. You don't come to God. God comes to you.
Oh, I love this.
All right. That's the way that works. That's the way that works. That's how you put predestination, foreknowledge, and eternal life all in one package. That's how it runs from Genesis to Revelation. God never come here trying to find somebody that didn't belong to him. If you didn't belong to God, you'll never belong to God. That's what the word eternal means. Eternal means having no beginning and having no end. So if you have eternal life today, it's because you've always had eternal life. When you were bad, you had eternal life. When you were being good, you had eternal life. It's because of who you are, not because of what you offered him, but who you are. Because of who you are, that's why you had a pull for the word. And when you heard the word, it was something that you'd never heard before. It was different than anything you'd ever heard. It was different than anything you ever run across. It tied things that didn't tie. What I'm saying this morning, tying things that you didn't understand before today. It ties the word. The word ties with the word. And it builds word upon word upon word upon word. That's why you can't get enough of services, because every time you come to church, God asks to what he's already given you. He builds on his own body. That's the way this thing works. So don't sell yourself short. Don't say you don't have nothing to do with it, Mike. You do.
Amen.
You do this. You take the step. It's your walk. It's not God's walk. He helps you. You know God put foolish virgin out here to help you to do what you need to do? It helps to us. It's like if you're in an office and you got a secretary and you got workers, and They're all there to help you accomplish what you need to get done. And everybody that you have in your life are here to help you to get the job done that you're ordained to do. All that the Father has given you, so that's Jesus' line. Whatever the Bible says about Jesus applies to me.
Yes.
All that the Father has given me will come. Everybody that's going to help me in my walk will come.
Amen.
They'll come to me. I don't go to them. They come to me.
That's right.
I'm the eternal life that they're looking for.
Yes.
I'm the key that they don't have. They got to come to me or they can't go. No man can come unto the Father but by me.
That's right.
Amen.
Write it all the way out, people.
Yes.
You say, oh, that's Jesus' line. That's your line too.
Amen.
If the foolish virgin going to come, they're going. No foolish virgin can come to the Father except by me.
Yes. Amen.
That's the way it works.
Wow.
After a while, you're going to understand what your job is. You're not just down here flip-flopping through the world and just bumping into things. Oh, that's an accident. No. Footsteps are ordered. If I put my foot here, I need it there. When I put it here, I need it there. When I get a job, I need that job because I need to run across somebody. When you get your job, you should go in there looking for foolish virgin. You should, because I'm here for a reason. I may only be here for 3 weeks. They might fire you after the third week. And we get all upset because they fire me. You know what? That's okay. My job's done here. When I move from one job to another, I know the light's leaving that place. You say, how do you know the light's leaving? I'm leaving. Ye are the light of the world. When I was in the world, I was the light of the world. But now you are the light of the world. Come on, y'all. Let me preach. When you walk wherever you walk, you are the only light they're going to see. The only God they're ever going to talk to today is the God in you and me. That's the only God they'll ever see. Because you know what? They're looking for a hopping head of Christ. They're waiting for the man in the flowing robe. His feet aren't even touching the ground. They're waiting on him to come. And you're walking there with your Levi's, your jeans, your cut shirt, your bad looking clothes. You're walking there, and they won't even look at you because they're looking for Hoffman.
Come on.
And here God's right in front of them.
Yeah.
It happens that way all the time.
Yes.
When Jesus was here, they were there looking for God.
Yeah.
And they said, just so show us the Father. They still couldn't find God. The man healed the sick. He raised the dead.
Yes.
He broke bread and he fed the thousands. And they still looked at him asking, show us the Father.
Yeah.
Jesus said, how long have I been with you and you don't know the Father? When you see me, you see the Father.
Yes.
How long have I been here and you don't know me? When you see me, you see the Father.
Yes.
Say unto me, show us the Father. We want to see God. You ain't going to see God outside of the bride.
That's right. Amen.
That's the only way you're going to see God now we're living in. I'm sorry. If you're waiting for hopping, you ain't going to see him. This is the closest thing to God you're going to see right now. What you're looking at. Because it's the Word made flesh.
Yes.
And the flesh made Word.
Yes.
We're the walking, talking, moving manifestation of God Himself on earth.
Amen.
The only God this world's going to get is what you see right now in us.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the Word.
And if you don't get God out of that, you can't get God.
Amen.
You'll never get Him.
Amen.
All right.
Oh, yes,
okay. Let me settle down. He ain't floating around. He's walking. He's talking. He's moving. He's breathing. He's singing. He's testifying. He's preaching. He's working. He's driving cars. That's God. That's how real God is. But that's too real for people. That's too real. You put God in skin and tell him how you treat me. Is how you treating God.
Right.
It scare them. That's the way it was with Jesus. When Jesus walked in their presence, you'd being a man. You being a man. Make yourself equal with God. Jesus like, and? And in the hour we're living in now, you being a man.
Yeah.
making yourself equal to God.
Amen.
Jesus got in trouble for two things. Telling them who he was and tell them who they were. We get in trouble for two things. We tell them who we are and we tell them who they are. And they don't like it. They don't like it. But that's okay. The truth is the truth. The truth is the light. We got to tell you the truth. So, I come here this morning and I got a thought on my mind. So if you turn me over to Genesis chapter 22. Yeah, I'm going to be going to see Brother Fred. I'm going to be out of town here in a couple of weeks. I got to go to Atlanta. While I'm down there, I thought, well, I got to go home. So I might as well swing by South Carolina on the way back. And so I kept putting him off. I said, you better call him because you just, you know, because I know if I call him, I'm going to obligate myself. If I don't call him, I don't have to do it. So this morning I sitting there and said, go ahead and call him. So I called him. He said, pray for them. They were just heading out to church. He said, he'll pray for our church. And he said, pray for mine. And he said, yeah, I'm in the driveway, just getting ready to pull out, going to church. I said, well, how about the twins? He said, come on down. Yeah, come on. That's my friend. And so we're going to stop in and on the way back home to see him. So pray for his church. Pray for the body. There's some that are out sick, different ones. Dawn, I don't think you ever said anything about, why not? How's God going to do? I just thought about it. I said, Come on, girl.
I actually was going to get up and testify about it today. But then I thought, you know, I'm always talking about me, my lungs or whatever, and I don't want to always do that, but God has totally healed me. Totally healed me. I went to the doctor yesterday or day before, and he said, you don't need oxygen anymore. And when this all started, Brother Moore said, I won't be happy until you're off that thing. And I'm off of it. God is good. I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm sorry I didn't get up and listen earlier.
I thought, let her tell you what he's done. Amen. Now, I was there. Yes, you can. You can interrupt me one more time.
But, you know, December 28th or 29th, my lungs had been getting really, really bad, and I had to wear oxygen all day long. And on New Year's service, I was sitting up there, and Brother Moore prays for me every service. And God said, get up, because he was praying for Trevor. And I said, oh, Lord, you always are praying for me. He said, get up, and Brother Moore, put the oil away. And he said, you have not because you ask not. God's a healer. And I jumped up, and I said, I'm tired of this. And that CAT scan had showed that every time I breathed out, my lungs collapsed. So they showed on the 27th, my lungs were collapsing. I was scarred. I took a pulmonary function test on the 8th of January, and they said, this will show if you're getting oxygen. And after God had healed me, I was. And then every day something's happened better, better, better. And then for him to take me off, it's just God. I mean, I can't explain how much of a miracle it is.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I couldn't walk across the floor without my oxygen dropping. I couldn't walk out to the mailbox with my husband, and now I can. Mm-hmm. You know, he got so excited because I ran around the church. That's nothing but God, people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And still, that's children's bread. What we're getting ready to have is meat. But I wanted her to thank God because I know what she had been through. I was there after the accident. I got to the hospital before she did. I did. I was sitting at home studying, getting ready for service, and then I forget, Elise or Jeremiah, I forget who. Jeremiah called me, and I got up from my desk, and I went down to Miami Valley, and I got there before Air Care Flight came in, and I watched her land. I watched John come in the ambulance. I watched the whole thing, and I was talking to the person at the desk, and she said, well, just give them a few. They're not here yet. give them a few minutes, come back in, and then she eventually got them back there and started working on them, and they let me go back because, you know, pastors get to go back in those type of situations because Dawn was a mess. And that was during COVID time, and they had Dawn in one room and John in the next, and I was going between them both, and the lady told me, said, now you got to stay in one room or the other because they didn't, with the COVID, you don't go between rooms. But I got to see Dawn, and she was pretty broken up. And to see her do what she did today, it is nothing less than a miracle from God. So we know God still does miracles. We just need to understand who we are and just stand on it. When you're going through something, just stand on it. Don't let circumstances determine the outcome. Because God is looking for your faith. That determines the outcome, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what I want, not what I have. If I had it, it doesn't need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The very evidence. Evidence is something that proves. The proof of it. Because I have faith in my healing. Because I have faith in God solving that problem. Because I have faith that God's going to move. See, and because you have that, that is the very evidence that it's going to happen. So the thing is, don't get frustrated with circumstances. You say it didn't happen today. It'll happen tomorrow. It didn't happen tomorrow. It'll happen the next day. It didn't happen next week. It'll happen in 2 weeks. It didn't happen in this life. When you get this body, new body, it'll happen. Somewhere along the line, it's going to happen. You said, oh, that's just a cop-out. No, I'm saying believe every day. God's never taught us to disbelieve. You don't see in that Bible at all, it says, oh, this is too hard for God. He said Israel didn't have it because they didn't ask. You know, and the people ask, if they ask, they ask about their own lust. I want this for the wrong reasons. But if you have faith in God's word, then God is obligated to take care of that need. But the key is for you to recognize that it's your word. It's God talking to you. God's delivering you. That's like Dawn asked me about her sister. She's had been diagnosed with cancer, and it looked bad. And Dawn asked me, she said, well, how should we pray? I said, we're going to pray like believers. I don't care if we lose the case. We're going to pray like believers. God's word, I never saw one place in there where God's word said anything but only believe. Brother Branham sang that song every service, only believe. Because if you can believe, all things are possible. All things, not some things, all things. And if you can just hold right there, never take back on your confession of your faith. Stay right there. I don't care if you're blind and you don't see after your prayer cloth and all the things that look like should happen. You stay on the promises of God. Don't look anywhere else. Because if you stand right there, the rest is God. See, like I said, you got something to do. Your part to do it. You know, if you're fighting something, your part is to stick on the word of God. The word says... You know, Mike says he's feeling lonely. That's a spirit. And it hits, I know it hits every single person in here. It hit every single person in here. So what you got to do, even though you are single and you're in that house by yourself and Satan says you're alone, you got to go by the word of God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you in the middle of it all. And don't give Satan glory and power and think he's got something over you. If I need God with skin on me, I'll go find God with skin on me. But I'm not going to give the devil any glory. And so he's got me. I'm home. I'm by myself. I don't have nobody. You have somebody. But you don't understand. You got a wife. You're married. And I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about that mind battle. Your battle is not being lonely, because you can be home by yourself. When I'm home by myself and Clarice is out shopping or something, I ain't worried about it. It's not bothering my mind. Matter of fact, my mind says, But when you're single, because I deal with all you singles here, every last one of you, and believe it or not, at one point you all come to me and you all say, I'm lonely. I get it.
Amen.
It's real.
Amen.
You're battling loneliness, but you got to battle.
Come on. Right.
You can't just submit to, no, you fight. It's Satan. He's trying to separate, trying to put you in a corner, trying to get you to feel like you're all alone.
Yeah.
You're not all alone. Every single person in this church can say the same thing Mike said this morning.
Right.
And have.
Yeah.
To me.
Right.
And I got the same answer. You're not alone. When you get alone, you know, get a hold of somebody. Call somebody. Find somebody. Check somebody in the body. Find them. Say, hey, you know, I'm feeling by myself. I'm the devil's battling me. Let's do something. Let's go out to eat. Let's do get yourself busy.
Yeah.
You know, because the worst thing you can do is sit at home and say, I'm alone. Yeah, you are. Do something. If you're by yourself, the way that you fix it, you get with somebody else. Then you're not by yourself.
Right.
You say, well, I don't want to go. Well, then stay home and be alone. But be content in whatever state you're in.
Right. Come on.
So, see, the thing is, It's a battle all the way around. It's always a battle. We all in here battle. Different levels, different battles, different fights. Some fight clothing. Some fight hair. Some fight loneliness. Some fight on and on and on. I know. But we all fight. And the thing is, you got to fight. This thing ain't a picnic, Brother Branham said. It's not a picnic. You got to fight for every ounce of ground you get. Every piece of the word of God that you believe, you got to fight for that. If you want a real marriage, you got to fight for that. If you want real friends, you got to fight for that. If you don't want to be alone, then you got to fight for that. And not being alone is not always marriage. Let me tell you something. Some married people sleep in separate rooms. So you say, well, I'm only alone when I'm in my bedroom. Well, there's a lot of married people in their own bedroom. Shows you that's not the answer. The word of God's the answer, no matter what state you're in. No matter, the thing is, you got to understand that God's got you. And you've got the word. And the word is the answer to all of our problems. And if you can just hold on to the word of God, and have faith in the word of God, no matter what state you're in, God will make you happy in that state.
Amen.
I mean, I can go down a list of things a single person can do, a married person can't.
Right.
And married people are like, man, if I were only single. And people without kids can do things that people with kids can't do.
Amen.
And one thing I always notice, people without kids are always, you know, they first get married. Oh, we want to have kids. We want to have kids. I'm like, you better enjoy each other. Because when those rugrats come, it's over for at least 18 years. And then they're single. They're trying to get married. Married, trying to get divorced. It'll never satisfy the house. So you better satisfied with the word.
Right.
In whatever state you're in.
Yes,
if you have kids, I did it. I enjoyed all my stages. When I was single, I was happy. I told God, if I don't marry by 25, I ain't getting married. I'll just stay single. I was happy. Single man serving God, loving God, come to church when he wants, stay as long as he wants. I can go visit the brothers, don't have to go and report to nobody. I see some brothers, they walk out of the house, the first thing that happens, their phone ring. Hey, babe. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with Brother Moore. How you going? It won't be long. I'll see you in a half hour. That's a man. I've seen it myself because I sit back and I just like, I told Clarice when we got married, I said, if you don't need nothing, don't call me. Y'all think I'm an awful man. Didn't I, Clarice? I told you, I said, if you don't need something, don't just call me.
That's enough,
because I'm working. A lot of times, see, I do physical work. I'll get to that. But a lot of times I do physical work, and my hands are busy, and I'm busy holding up drywall for Don or doing something. And the phone rings, and you got one hand on the wall, because he's going to keep working. And you got the other hand trying to, hello?
Hello, man.
Would you like chicken, or would you like tacos for dinner?
Oh, no.
Or worse yet, what are you doing? I hate when she asks me that. And y'all know it's the truth. Because I've seen you brothers. I've seen you brothers. You can't hardly get the work done from being on the phone with your wife. And she's calling every 10 minutes. What you doing now? What you doing now? I'm thinking about going here. What do you think? I think, I don't know. I'm not on the other end of the phone. But I'm on the outside. I just watch. I watch all my brothers. And when we're working and doing stuff, I watch. You know, because men think they're strong.
Okay,
till their wife calls. Then it's like, okay. I'll call you when I leave here. Not when I get home. I'll call you when I leave here, because she wants to know when you're coming home. So when you call her, she's automatically got the watch going, because he's 30 minutes away. I'm talking about a husband and wife team. When you're single, you don't have that. So y'all that's always trying to hop in and get married, I'm telling you, there's a cost to that. And then you have those three or four kids that you enjoy having. Then the church want to take a trip, and you can't go because you can't afford it. Me and my 6, 8, 10, whatever it is, we can't go. My daddy and mama had 10 kids. We didn't take vacations. Our vacation was going down to staying at our grandparents because we didn't have to pay for hotels. We never stayed in a hotel. Never took a family out to eat at a dinner. We didn't even know what. Rare. It wasn't at all. I never ate at a restaurant until I got up and grown and on my own. My mom and daddy never went to a restaurant. Not with us. I don't know what they did when they said they were going to a grocery store. They probably went out to eat. But there's a cost with everything. So whatever state you're in, be content. Pop the devil in the head. If you're single, he says you're lonely, say, watch this. Oh, for those of you who don't know, that's rotary dial. And if you and your wife are sitting there looking at each other, you're like, we need to do something. Get with another married couple. Invite them for dinner. Call them over. Go to the house. Go do something. Don't just sit there and stare at each other like, well, another year. Get out of the house.
Amen.
Fellowship. Do something. I'm telling you things I've done. When I was single, I said I wouldn't get married if I didn't marry by 25. I wouldn't have no hurry to get married. God told me I was getting married. And you know what age I've married? 25. I'm sort of mad about that because I thought I was over the hump. I thought, ugh. Then we got married. Then we had kids because they said we couldn't have kids. God bless us. We had three. Enjoyed Clarice until we had kids. She had some medical issues. When I was getting ready to marry her, she called me up and said, oh, you don't want me. I said, I'm not marrying you for anything but you. I'm not, you know, because they said she couldn't have kids. And she called me and said, oh, we can't have kids. I said, I ain't worried about that. I'm not marrying your kids. I'm marrying you. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Three kids later. They were stuck till they got grown. Now we're back to two again. And we enjoy it. Brother John came over to the house the other day. He saw Clarice sitting in that chair. She's sitting next to the fireplace. Fireplace going. Wasn't she, John? Chair laid out. Blanket on her. Living it out. Just sitting in the chair waving to John. I said, God bless you, brother. He said, this place is so peaceful. But that's the stage we're in. We've gotten over that hump. So we're going to enjoy this stage. When me and Clarice want to go out to eat, we go out to eat. When we want to eat at home, we eat at home. When we want to travel, we don't have to ask nobody. Ain't babysitting nobody. You know? So that's the stage we're in now. So whatever stage you're in, be content. Lord tarries, one of us will die and the other will be alone. But they won't be alone. They'll live that life to the fullest in the stage that they're in. That's called a cycle of life. And whatever stage you're in, be content. Thank God for it. And enjoy it. Don't go through life not enjoying life. Men, people get so messed up because they always want to enjoy something later. You better enjoy what you have now, because you're not guaranteed to be married. You're not guaranteed to have kids. You're not guaranteed to be old. No promise for tomorrow. So enjoy it while you got it. Smile even when you're single. Smile when you're married. Smile when you have kids. Smile when your brother Lockett said, well, I got to walk slow, but I'll get there. There you go. Enjoy it. Enjoy whatever stage you're in. Because you got to understand, you are seed of God. And you will overcome every bit of that. You will overcome every stage. You will overcome every problem. You will overcome every issue. You will overcome every sickness. You'll overcome every stage that the devil throws at you because of who you are. You will endure until the end. You will go through it. You will get over it. But you got to do your part. Don't just wait for God. I'm just going to wait till God comes. No, you do your part. If you want friends, the old saying says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Say, I don't have any friends. Nobody ever calls me. Call them. Nobody ever invites me over to their house. Invite them over yours. Streets are two ways. There's always a way out. If you're lonely, it's your fault. If you're by yourself, it's your fault.
You're right.
Can I preach now? All right. Now I'm ready. Genesis chapter 22. I want to go back to Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of faith. So the traits of Abraham should follow his seed line. It will. You look like your daddy whether you want to or not. So Genesis chapter 22, I want to start here reading four verses here, starting at verse 15. Now, Abraham had offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and God was testing him. He told him, take your son, your only son. We could read the whole chapter, but I'm trying to save time. I'm already late getting started. He said, take your only son, take him up on the hill, and kill him. So Abraham, because he believed God, Abraham had faith. You know why Abraham had faith? Because God promised him something. See, if God never talks to you and promises you nothing, don't worry about it. You don't have to have faith in that. But if God says anything to you, you can bank on it. So God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you a son. And you're going to be the father of many nations. And he made all these promises to Abraham up on the mountainside over there when he just before he killed Sodom and Gomorrah. He gave all these promises to Abraham. So Abraham built his life around it. See, the thing is, you need to build your life around the promises. You build your life around this word. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. They're never going to like the way you look. They're never going to like the way you dress. They're never going to like the way you act. You're always going to be different because of what's in you. Abraham had a promise in him, and he lived his life accordingly. And so he knew God promised him a son, and God gave him that son. And Abraham told Sarah, see, told you. I told you, that's right. Who's a man? Yeah. So he had his son. 25 of years of preaching.
Right.
How long have I been preaching, y'all? But he believed God. And God gave him his son. Now, God already promised that son was going to be his seed through Sarah. So he knew Isaac was the right one. But God said, take your son up there and kill him. Abraham looked at the circumstances and said, well, you promised me that he's going to be the one. You promised me. See, this is how faith works. Your word said. God, your word said. God, your word said. But God said, Abraham, kill him. So Abraham looked and they looked around. Yeah, well, I believe God for everything else. Well, I'm going to stop believing him now. And I got faith in his word. So Abraham took Isaac and he took two boys with him and went up on the mountainside and he told the two boys, stay back here. And he gave Isaac the wood. Say, you carry this. You carry your cross. Because remember, it was a type. Abraham gave his only begotten son. And he put the wood on his back. And Isaac's like, he wasn't like Jesus. Isaac was like, you got the wood. We got the fire. Where's the meat? There's something. We don't have nothing to sacrifice, Dad. But listen to Abraham's words. He said, God, he was a prophet too. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now you can read that. It says God's going to provide a sacrifice. But you can also read that God's going to provide himself. He put himself in there for a reason. Because that's the type of Jesus Christ. God's going to provide himself a sacrifice. And he took him up there, laid him on the wood, and was getting ready to take his life. And God was like, he's got faith in me. He will really kill this boy. And I'm going to have to resurrect him. Because I told him that I'm going to give him that seed through him. So Abraham raised that knife, was getting to kill him. God said, hold it. Stay your hand. Don't do it. But listen to the way God told him this. He said, now I know that you love me. See, you prove your love for God by your faith manifested. You could say you believe me all day and don't do a word that I say.
Amen. Come on, Lord.
You don't have faith. Now I know that you really do have faith. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Your faith in action should produce works. We should see it all over the place. Because y'all all say you believe. We all say we have faith. So your actions should back up your mouth. Amen. If all you got is mouth, no action, you have no faith. Amen. Brother Children says, don't testify any higher than you can live. Amen. Don't jump any higher than you can step down and land. Because you can crow as loud as you want. I never pay attention to what people say. I really don't. I got to be honest. Now, y'all know this because I told y'all this for years. The loud testimonies, the loud mouths, the ones that's always got God right in their ear and all that. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about that. I want to see God in action. And that will be because you have faith to step out on what he said. Abraham stepped out on what God's word said. And if it meant his killing his son, he would have done it. And God was just putting him out there testing. Because when he got ready to do it, he said, hold on here. Now I know. You're serious. You come to church, and you sit on these benches, and you never do nothing. God never gets to use you. God gets nothing out of your life. Zero. If God gets zero out of your life, he'll know that too. Now I know you don't love me. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. Is it the truth? Yes. Okay. Amen. All right. I'm just talking about Abraham. Don't get mad at me. So Abraham did all this, and I'm just bringing up to where we're getting ready to read. And verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hath not withheld thy son, thy only son. Listen to verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall prosper, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And I want to title this message this morning, Possessing the Gate of the Enemies. Now, in looking at what God promised Abraham and his seed, you got to understand there's some things going on there. Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, because it says God will provide. Because God will take care of his seed. He always. See, you don't have to wonder if he's going to do it. He will do it. See, that's his word. And the thing is, we need to understand how this works, because God was promising this to Abraham. He told him here, he said, here's the blessing that he told Abraham. He said he's going to be blessed. He would multiply. And the seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. All the nations shall be blessed by that seed. And God always does the supernatural to protect that seed. When we're going through life, it's not just you doing this like by yourself. God takes what looks like natural and takes and makes a supernatural thing happen with it. And the thing that's so great about this, and we're reading about Abraham, and everybody's golf clapping about Abraham, but it's not about Abraham. He said, and thy seed. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. So when God gave those promises, God gave those promises to all the seed of Abraham. Let's read those blessings again. He will be blessed. Any seed of God, any seed of Abraham, and I'm talking about the faith seed. That one faith seed of Abraham was Christ. And through Christ, we all became Abraham's seed. Because God stopped worrying about Jew and Gentile. He stopped worrying about trying to take care of Israel. He realized through Jesus Christ that he had a bride that was going to be a Gentile wife that wasn't even on that group. But through faith, we became Abraham's seed. And the first thing it says, that we will be blessed. This ain't the worst thing that could happen to you. Serving God is the best thing that could happen to you. You're blessed more than anybody else in the world. You're blessed over top of your family. You're blessed over top of your friends. They say they got good jobs. They got lots of money. They got this. They got that. But that isn't what I'm talking about. God's blessed you with an understanding. He's blessed you with eternal life. He's blessed you with answers to everything. God took a natural thing and made a supernatural thing out of it, just with you. You are blessed. And I can spend some time on that. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We are blessed. We don't deserve it, but yet we are blessed. We're blessed because we're Abraham's seed. And God promised this to Abraham. Remember, anything that God promises, you can drive your stake in. You can build your life around. Amen. You need to build your life around this word, because that's where Abraham's seed are. Amen. You build your life around this word and you will be blessed. If you need healing, you can be blessed. If you need money, you can be blessed. If you need a job, you can be blessed. If you just need peace of mind, you can be blessed. God can take a messed up mind, straighten it out, and focus you, as long as he put you right where the word is. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a sound mind. It's a blessing to be able to trust God's word and know that he will see it through. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to believe God. Yes. Most people don't believe God like you do. Yes. You believe God's word. That's why you're here. You're blessed. Yes. You're Abraham's seed. And if Abraham was blessed and God promised him, I'm going to bless your seed, I get blessings through that.
Amen.
He would multiply. Abraham's seed was multiplied. Faith seed. Look what happened. That's what the whole building of the church was about. It did exactly what God promised it was going to do. It multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And what was one seed, Jesus said, except that corn of wheat goes into the ground, it abides alone. And he was the first faith seed. And by him going in the ground, then multiple seeds came out. Faith seed. We believe God because Jesus was who he was. So yes, he got multiplied. It says, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Oh my. Nothing can stand against God. I mean, we think about, we've been on Joshua here lately, and I'm going to talk about Joshua some more today. But God always took natural things, and he supernaturally does it. It's supernatural for you to believe what you believe. It's supernatural for this to get better every service instead of old. This shoe bread never ages. We're eating off of this bread in the holies of holies, and it never ages. It never gets old.
Amen.
You go to other places, you eventually get tired of the Christmas story and the Easter story. And then the preachers, they have 365 messages, or at least 52, that they rotate through year after year, year after year. And they just go over and over, and you're sitting there lip-syncing the preacher. You know exactly what he's going to say, because you've been in the church for 10 years, and this is the 10th time you heard this message on this same week. And you're bored out of your gourd. That ain't the shoe bread. If what you're eating gets old, get away from it. Get away from it. It has leaven in it. It's molded. It's old. It got wiggletails in it. But we sit here and we get blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Fresh manna every service. Have you ever smelt fresh bread? Brother Chris works at a bread shop. Bread factory. And I used to go to work down, and I drive right by Chris's factory. And I'd just drive by, and you could smell the yeast in that bread. And I was like, oh man, I don't even want bread. But when I drove by that Costerman's, when I drove by there, I was like, man, I feel like just pulling up to the door. Fresh manna. There is nothing better than fresh cooked food.
Right.
Jay doesn't like leftovers.
No.
As long as I've known him, he does not like leftovers. You got to give him something to eat, and it's got to be fresh. It's got to be good. It's got to be new. That's always been Jay.
Yeah.
I can't give him something from yesterday. But we're blessed. We're blessed with what we get. We're blessed with the word. It's fresh every time. We deal with everything that's real, natural, normal, everyday life. And God's word has an answer for every bit of it. Every bit of it. Nobody has to walk out of here and feel like, well, I didn't get fed.
No. Right.
If you didn't get fed today, it's because you didn't eat what was laid in front of you.
Right.
Sometimes kids get a plate of food in front of them, they don't eat it, they leave the table. my family didn't get to do that, but y'all's kids get to leave the table without eating it, and then when they get about an hour later, they're ready to eat something. Can I have a hot dog? Can I have this? Not here. When this food is, the table spread here this morning. The smorgasbord's here this morning. You can eat as much as you want this morning. But once the table's closed and the service is over, it's done. And if you didn't eat and you walk out of here hungry, it ain't my fault. I've already said enough. We all should be fat and happy. I already said enough that we have something we can go through the day with. But I ain't through yet. I got a smorgasbord here for you. I always like to take big eaters to the smorgasbord with me. Because I don't eat that much. And it costs you $15, $20 to get in the door. And I'm only going to eat about $5 worth. So I like to get I like to take Skyler with me. I like, get him. When you're young, you got all that metabolism, and this is just tear them up. Get them. When I come to the house of God, I want some big eaters here. I don't want people looking at the clock. Oh, he's up, been up there half an hour. And he read his scripture yet. Oh, it's time to go to God. I want to get ahead of the people in the food line, because you know all these church people get out. If you don't get out before 12, I want big eaters. I want people to eat until they can't eat no more. All nations shall be blessed by thy seed. And that is the truth. The children of God, Brother Branham said, this message, this word, went from east to west. It started over there in Jerusalem, went across the sea, and it got over in Germany. Then, and as it started going across the continent, it went through Germany, and then it went through England, and then it come across to United States. The last messenger was born here, and it went all the way as far west as it could go. And when you go so far west, you have to go back east. So all the nations have been blessed by the faithful seed of Abraham. The children of Abraham have been everywhere on this globe. That has happened. God has kept his word. God always does the supernatural. He told Joshua. Joshua's out there fighting a battle. And God could have just won the battle. So God didn't want to just do the work for you. He wants you to do it. He wants you to have faith. And when you have the faith, then he'll do it. He'll do the supernatural. He didn't ask you to do the supernatural. See, God's not asking us to do something that we can't do. He asks us to do what we can do. And from there, he'll take the rest. When you're sick, God says, pray that you'll be healed. Have faith that you'll be touched. Have faith that God's going to deliver you. That's all he asks you to do. He don't ask you to do the healing. You can't do that. That's beyond your duties. That's beyond your abilities. But if you have faith in that, God sees your faith and he says, now I know. Then he takes over. Amen. You just trust God. You stand there, and only the elect can do this. That's right. The rest of the world look at us like we're crazy because we believe in something that they can't see. We believe in something that they don't understand. We stand for something that they don't identify with. And we hold our heads up and we walk as sons and daughters of God, proud to be who we are, because we're the seed of Abraham. Amen. They look at you like you're crazy, but it says you're the crazy one. Jesus, they thought Jesus was crazy. And they said, Abraham's our father. Jesus was like, no, he's not. He said, if Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. But yet you try to kill me. They try to kill your influence. They try to kill your personality. They try to kill your message. They try to kill you. They don't like the way you look. They don't like the way that you dress. You should do something about this. You should do something about that. Oh, you don't have to listen to that word. Oh, that Bible's old-fashioned. Oh, that's outdated. God is not outdated. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eternal. So God will do supernatural things out of natural things. What seems to be natural to men, God takes a supernatural move on it. Okay. Whatever your issue is, God will provide what's needed to possess the enemy. Joshua's standing there. Now, he got the children of Israel from Moses. Moses was their leader. And Moses turned it over to Joshua. And Joshua, Jay mentioned it Wednesday night, Joshua had to take the children of Israel across the sea to get over to Jordan. And not only over Jordan, but he had right on the other side of Jordan was this Jericho, this humongous city called Jericho. He had two enemies. The first enemy was that Jordan River. And the second was Jericho. And he had to deal with both of those. And like I said, God wants you to have faith and believe him, and God will take care of the details. We want to worry about how God's doing it. How is God going to heal me? How is God going to make money for me? How is God going to give me a job? How is God going to take care of my... How God? We want to know how. He said, no, don't worry about the details. Because God gave me a job that I shouldn't have had because I didn't have a degree. And my boss said, Nate, I'm going to hire you. I know I'm not supposed to because you don't have your degree. But he said, but while you're here, I want you going pursuing that degree. That's not too hard for God. The hardest part was getting in the door. And I ended up being the manager of the biggest hospital computer center in Dayton. Isn't that crazy? Little old me. I remember getting out of the car the first day, and I looked across there at that hospital. I was standing in the parking lot, and I was like, you're the manager of all the computers in this place? Little old me, without a degree, shouldn't have been there. And then God took care of that. But that's just one example. Healing when you shouldn't be able to breathe. People get on an oxygen, they on it for the rest of their life. They never get off. Shouldn't be able to breathe. Shouldn't be able to have kids. Shouldn't be able to have certain healings done. Shouldn't be have your right mind. Stress, struggles, been through a lot. But somehow, in the middle of all, you still have a right mind.
Amen.
God does the impossible.
Amen.
God does what you can't do. You just have faith in him and step out there. Now, he had these obstacles in his way. Joshua chapter 3, verse 6. God told him, said, take those priests out there. Send them out before the children of Israel. Now, I love the way Jay said this Wednesday. He said, the children that came out with Moses didn't have the faith that the children that were with Joshua. And I was thinking about that this morning. The children that followed Brother Branham did not have the faith or the revelation of the children that are following me. Moses drug them out, they complained. Moses got them in the wilderness, they complained. Pharaoh's on our tail. Why'd you bring us here to die? We're hungry, we're thirsty. Why? The children of Israel, Moses like, oh Lord, just keep walking. That's Moses, that's what Moses had. Only thing Moses had on his side was Joshua and Caleb. The only two out of the million, that 2 million that come out, that went in with Joshua and Caleb. The only true believers. Every time Moses would say something, Joshua said, yes, sir. Caleb said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Never complained. Never gave him an ounce of problem. Never got him any trouble at all. He just wholly followed his leader. Wholly followed the word because Moses was following the word. But Moses had a bunch of not hard-headed people. They were just complain about everything. God had to feed them. God had to water them. God had to clothe them. God had to keep them. And you know what? They could have made that journey in a week. They sat out there in the wilderness walking around in circles for 40 years. Around the same mountain. Didn't I see that mountain? No, you didn't. But that looks familiar. God walked them around the same mountain for 40 years and let them all drop, let them all die because they didn't believe God. They weren't the children of Abraham. They were the children in a natural seed, but they didn't have faith. But Joshua, another generation rose up. When Joshua said, look to the left, they looked to the left. When Joshua said, look to the right, they looked to the right. When Joshua said, march, they marched. When Joshua said, stop, they stopped. He didn't have that battle with them.
Right.
I don't have that battle with y'all.
Amen.
I listened to some of the things that Brother Branham had to put up with. And the stuff they'd ask on questions. They had the prophet of the hour in their presence. And they're asking stupid things.
Right.
Question and answers like, are you serious? You wasting his time on that? We have question and answers. We have Bible study every Sunday night. And we rock and roll. We have a good time. But, you know, we're not asking stupid questions. I don't get that out of my congregation. Y'all are well down the road. You're well informed. So Joshua got this problem, and God said, hey, send your priest out there and put him in the water. And I'll dry the ground and let your children cross. So Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant. See, number one, like Jay said, Joshua knew what to do with the ark. He knew who had to handle it. And they knew. Nobody was complaining. Nobody's arguing. You know, we don't have them fighting like they did with Moses. Because Moses, they were fighting. Remember one time Moses got them out there and they said, we can hear from God just like you. You know, there's people used to say that here. Brother Childers ain't the only one that got a birth. Brother Moore ain't the only one that got a birth. Moses had to deal with those hard heads. Everybody had a better way. Everybody had a da-da-da-da. Not Joshua. He didn't have that. Joshua spake unto the priest and said, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Oh my. They got the ark of the covenant on their shoulders. Now, they remember what their parents told them about what happened with Moses and the Red Sea. And Moses smote the water, and they parted, and then they walked across. Joshua said, get out of that water. God's gonna deliver us today. He's going to deliver us through this. But I need you guys to get that ark, put it on your shoulders, and walk. That's by faith. See, the children of Israel that came out with Moses, they did not need faith to walk across the Red Sea.
No.
Moses smote the water with the rod and it parted. And the children were like, oh, this is the way.
Right.
All those unbelievers, oh, yeah, come on, this is the way. This is pretty plain, pretty obvious the way to go. The water on this side, water on that side. That didn't take faith. It didn't even take faith for them to do that. But Joshua's group had to be full of faith. Because he told the high priest, you know what? Take that out there in the water. God's going to deliver us today. Stand in the water. Yeah, just go stand in. You know what? They didn't have a discussion. They didn't have an argument. There was no fight over, who's going to do this? I ain't doing it. Priest grabbed that ark and start walking. Without knowing nothing. Without seeing what God's going to do. And say, God just wants to see if you're going to do it.
Amen.
He just wants to see if you're doing it. A lot of times, God wants you to open your hand, and God don't want nothing in your hand.
Amen.
He just wants to see if you're open it.
Yeah.
If you're willing.
Right.
That's what he said. He told Moses, he told Abraham, now I know.
Yeah.
Up until this point, I knew you would do it because I saw it from before the foundation of the world. But now with the manifestation, I know.
Yeah.
Get out in that water.
Amen.
And those high priests like, okay, yes, sir. They start walking. Their ankles got wet. And in the front of the ark, like Jay said, the water starts getting deep. So the ones in the front had to have more faith than the ones in the back. Because the ones in the front, the water start coming up high. But they didn't see a thing. God had it all planned out in his hands. And as soon as the whole ark got into the Jordan River, Remember, the Jordan River was funny because the way the river ran, certain parts of the year, the water would roll back and it was a drought time and you could just walk across the river. Anybody could walk across the river. But I won't read, I don't think I'm reading it here, but this time in the river, this river was in April when the water was at its peak. Flood stage. When you shouldn't be able to cross it at all. God takes impossible situations. Amen. See, God's not going to tell you to do something that you can do. God's going to tell you to do something that you can't do. He wants to see your faith in action. He wants to know that you will do it. Oh, he believes you're going to do it. And he saw before the foundation they're going to do it. But a lot of people got to the brink of the water of this message and turn around. Water's too deep. Jordan's too dirty. It's too muddy. Wrong time of the year. Can we come back in the fall? Not the priest. They believed God. And this time, the priest just went out and stood in the water. And when they stood in the water, that's all Joshua could do. He was at the end of his rope. God had to take him. God took what was natural, and then he made a supernatural thing out of it. And here he was standing there, and all of a sudden the water just from the priest, all the water from the north stopped. The water from the south went on down the road. And here they were on dry land again. But this group of people was like, I knew that was going to happen. They're like, yes, it was a whole group, not just Moses. Amen. Not just Joshua, but the whole, the priests are like, Daddy told me about this. I knew it'll happen. It'll happen. When they're watching, they're probably saying, it's going to happen. Watch. It's going to happen. I believe it. We're going to do this. God's going to do this for us because we're the seed of Abraham. We're the promised seed. God said he's going to do this. He's going to deliver us. So, and so they stood there and the water stopped and the water cleared and the children of Israel walked across and the priests just stood there in the water. Just stood there right next to him while all the children walked past. You know what it did? It made all the children recognize where the word was. They marched past the ark and they're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because they had to depend. They had to have faith that the water was going to stand. So the entire group of believers were standing there having faith. A lot different than Moses' group. Here we are, the seed of Abraham. Brother Branham said, he said, how can we say about Joshua? He said, how are they going to cross the Jordan? Seemed like God was a strange military man. Right in the month of April, when the water was up to that. But he said to Joshua, take the ark and go forward. That's all he had to do. And God moved back to Jordan and made dry grounds, and they walked across and was delivered. Now, no wonder Joshua said, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You know, Joshua's like, I'm convinced. I don't know about anybody else. I'm convinced. He so believed God. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, this is what God told him. He said, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel, they knew they were coming. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now, God told Joshua this before he lifted one sword. I give you this, Joshua. See how God works? God uses his word to build your faith. Joshua's faith was pretty strong. He had seen what God had done to Moses. And God said, I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He'd seen what he did with him at the Jordan. He'd already possessed that enemy gate. That Jordan was his gate. And then Jericho was his gate. He got one crossed, pitched his tent. Now he's looking at another enemy. He says, how am I going to do this? But God told him, so I give it to you. If God says it, I don't care what it looks like. See, that's where the seed of Abraham come into play, is we believe God because God said it. Not because we know all the answers or see everything, but because God said it, we'll believe it. It says, notice, Joshua had a V-Day, that's victory day, at the river. Joshua had a V-Day at Jericho. He certainly did. That's where he had crossed. He had a V-Day first at the river. There he is at in the month of April, probably a mile across Jordan was, because up on top of the mountain up there, there was snow melting. And all over the plains, the rivers spread. And no doubt the enemy would have said, now, God is a general, isn't he? He led his army right up here to the time of the spring when the river is worse. When it's worse, and it was worse time to cross the river. And then led his army up here and led them to the cross, led him to cross. Said, God lets disappointments happen. Listen to this, church. God let disappointments happen to show victory.
Amen.
Oh, if we could only see that, see? You only see that these things, you only see these things that seems to be so burning you and upsetting you. There are trials. There are things to stand still, focus your glasses on the word of God and speak the word and then just walk forward. That's all there is to do. See, we when we have problems, when we're struggling, when we're going through trials, when we're going through things, don't give up. Don't surrender. Stand on the word of God. That's what the faith seed of Abraham did. They stood on the word of God and stood back and watched God does it, because God uses those trials that you're going through to bring the faith out that's in you. When you don't know what to do, you have faith that God's going to show you. When you don't know which way to turn, you have faith that God will show you. When you don't have the answers, you have faith that God's going to give them to you. That's possessing your enemy's gates. That's possessing everything that comes across your life. You don't have to have problems and troubles overrun you. You don't have to let the Jordan take you down. You can look at the faith that God has given you and step out by faith and possessing that gate. No matter what is in there, name that gate whatever you want. Name whatever you want to call it. It's the gate that Satan's put there, and God's going to give you the faith to possess that thing. You don't have to accept it.
Amen.
You don't have to feel like you're lost. You don't have to feel like you're alone. You don't have to feel like you're sick. Yeah. When you're sick, you start saying, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
You start walking it off.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm half sick and don't know it till lunchtime. Because I just get up and get going. And by lunch, I know something's off. Then by lunch, I think, oh, well, I know what it is. I'm sick. But by that day, the day's half over. I'm like, well, might as well keep working. But if you lay down, oh, I see people all the time. They let sickness take them. And I know people get sick. There's people listening now that are at home sick, because I told them to stay home when they get sick. But I'm talking about somebody who just gives to it. Yeah, I just, you know, there's I don't think it's chondriacs. There's something. Hypochondriac, is that what people who get sick, that they hear what somebody else has and they get it? I've known people like that. If I got a backache, they get a backache. If my arm's sore, their arm is sore. And then if something happens, they know somebody who's got something. They say, oh, I think I'm coming down with something. I don't think I'm going to be able to survive this one. I'm like, what? Yeah, Sister Smith, I went to her house and I saw she had this problem with her leg. And I'm feeling the same thing. And I'm like, no. Better rebuke that thing. Don't you pick up everything everybody else has. If I'm getting old, I'm going to go down fighting. Like Brother Children said, I'm going to climb this thing. As long as I can do this, I'm going to do this. I ain't going to just start. I'm not going to take the steps until I have to. That's what you do. When the devil throws it on, you cast it off. You're the seed of Abraham.
Right.
He promised you that he would take care of you.
Amen.
So you got to believe that.
Right.
You got to understand that you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And God's obligated to do that that you can't do.
Amen.
You do what you can. And what you can't do, then God takes over.
Amen.
Grace is for what you can't handle.
Amen.
Now, Joshua chapter 5. Lord, I got to close. It's 12 o'clock. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua got his instructions from God. See, this is the thing. When you get your instructions from God, when you come to church, you're getting your instructions from God. You're not getting your instruction from me. I'm learning while you're doing it. I'm enjoying this because he's here. I'm not doing this. I'm not preaching to you. He's preaching to you. I'm listening just like you are. I don't know which way he's going. I'm just going along with the ride. When the car turns the corner, I go with it. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, there's his enemy's gate, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or our adversaries? That's what you ought to ask when every situation comes your way. Is this going to help me, or are you trying to hurt me? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servants? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Who else did that? Moses. But here Joshua is facing his enemy, trying to figure it out. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know which way to turn. And here comes the Lord, giving him orders, this is what I want you to do. And I don't have time to read it, but he told him, you march around this city. And I want you to do one time each day for 6 days. But on the seventh day, see how God does things? On the seventh day, I'm going to take over. I'm going to solve your problem. I'm going to cure your loneliness. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to touch your eyes. I'm going to touch your ears. I'm going to touch your high blood pressure. On the seventh day, I'm going to take over, because you can't do it, but I'm able to do it because you have faith in what I'm telling you. Joshua's standing there. In chapter 6, he said, on the seventh day, I want you to go around this thing seven times. I'm going to open all the seals. Seven thunders. You get one thunder for every age. But at the end time, I'm going to do all seven. We're going to march around this thing seven times. Because you know what? This ain't going to be you, Joshua. What I'm asking you to do is not even hard. I'm going to do something that you can't even do. You couldn't even imagine. And Joshua marched around. All he did was follow the word. That's all he did. He followed the word. See, that's all I'm asking you to do.
That's it.
Follow the word.
Amen.
Whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, God already promised the seed of Abraham, I got you. So why are you whining? Why are you complaining? Why are you acting like you? We are the best group that's ever existed.
Right?
We have more than anybody's ever had.
Right.
We have more answers, more understanding. God has dealt with us like nobody before. Oh, could you imagine the children of Israel, how proud they were going across that Jordan River, knowing that God had their backs?
Right.
Looking at Jordan, remember the first time? Oh, they're like giants.
Yeah.
Justin Kidd's like, what? I ain't seen no giants. See, what God meant for good, the devil meant for evil. They come out with grapes. Like I said Wednesday, big as watermelons. They come out with these grapes. Now, if Clary's came home from Kroger's with grapes that size, I would rejoice.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Get me a knife and start cutting me off some. But see, your mindset will make you or break you. They saw the same grapes. Everybody saw them. They saw the same grapes. It was in the same land. But all those backstabbing, unbelieving people, all they saw were giants, big people, and work. I'm like, don't you want these grapes? These are yours. They belong to you. God gave it to you. But they didn't have faith. Joshua's group, when they come across the Jordan, they're like, yeah, Jericho, we can do this. Those walls ain't that big. I can scale that. Then Joshua got the orders from the Lord's host. He got the word of God. And when he got the word of God, Joshua said, no, we're going to march around seven times. What's going to happen? I don't know. When's it going to happen? I don't know. All I know is he said, march around seven times. And on the seventh time, take your pitchers and smash them. Make some noise. Scream and holler. How are you going to take Jericho? I told you, God takes what seems like is just natural, and he turns it into supernatural. All he's asking us to do is walk around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, take your pitcher, not your sword. Take your pitcher and slam it down and holler and shout and scream. Praise God in advance for what he's about to do. They did that, and they couldn't even understand what was going to happen. It looked foolish to man. It looked silly. Us waiting for the rapture looks silly to man. Us looking for a body change is silly to man. Us thinking God can do this for us is silly to man. But that's our enemy's gates. That's the gate we're facing. We're standing here today looking silly to the rest of the world. And all God asks us to do is believe his report. All God asks you to do is to be the final voice to the final age. All God asks you to do is just represent him for this generation. And I will move that enemy's gate out of the way. I will do something supernatural that they'll not even understand when you're gone. That's all he wants. I got to close. Brother Branham said, what about the walls of Jericho? That they said that they could run chariot races across the top of them. It's great big walls. God said, go up there and march around it so many times and sound a trumpet and all of you let out a shout and the walls is going to fall down. Well, that was absolutely, would be silly to the carnal mind. But Joshua, knowing how thick those walls were, because he used to build plenty of walls down in Egypt, he knew the cement that was in them, how tight they were to hold them chariot races on top, even the houses built on top of it. But he didn't lean to his own understanding. He believed what God said was the truth and obeyed his word, and the walls fell down, leaning not to his own understanding. You don't have to know how the body change is going to work. You just need to know what's going to happen. You don't have to know all the details of how you're going to walk your life for Jesus Christ. You just need to know that you're going to do it. He'll make up the difference. He'll hit you right where you need to be hit. He'll pick you up where you need to be picked up. He'll take you right when you get to your enemy's gate. You, whatever that gate is, you're the seed of Abraham. God's obligated, according to his word, to see you through that gate. It's not how thick the walls are, not how big your problem is. Whatever it is, it could be a really small problem. A kid in school having an issue with a test. That could be your gate. It could be a job opportunity. That could be your gate. It could be, like Millie said, fighting, figuring out, wearing dresses, not wearing dresses. That could be your gate. Guys figuring out, how am I going to represent this message right? That could be your gate. But the biggest gate we have is that body change. That gate we will surpass because God's already said he's going to do it. We just have to have faith in his word. We don't have to get God to say it. He already said it. He already said it. Brother Branham said, it's been spoken, now let it manifest. Possessing the enemy's gate. Whatever your trial is, you got this because you're Abraham's seed. And all of those promises that God said God was going to give him to his seed, they're yours. How can we miss? We can't. He already promised Abraham he's going to bless us. He told Abraham he's going to do this for us. And here we are. Years and years and years and years down the line. And the faith seed of Abraham are still receiving the blessings that God promised. And the same one that promised the first one is the same one that's going to see you through to the body change. He promised you a marriage supper. He promised you a new heaven and new earth. He promised you to live for eternity. That's his word. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to try to twist our mind to believe it. That's his word. We just need to have faith that it'll happen just like he said. Possess the enemy gates. You know what gates you're facing. You know what gates you're going through in your life. And you can conquer every one of them because we are the seed of Abraham. And God told Abraham that we will possess and his seed the gates of our enemies. That's us. So don't fall back on, oh, Lord, I can't. No, yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ. He's made a way for every situation in my life. Every problem, every trouble, every sickness. He promised. And by us being the children of Abraham, he will see it through. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we can possess the enemy's gates. That, Lord, there's nothing that can come our way that we can't handle. Because you said greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, when we battle, if we just let you have it, it ceases to be a battle. The battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. We don't need to battle. We need to just look at your word and what the word says we'll do. I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. I'm trusting in you and your word. For you're the one that's going to keep it. You're the one that's going to protect us. You're the one that's going to save us. You're the one that's going to provide for us. And though they fall to the left and the right, I'll stand strong. I'll stand just as strong as Joshua did, knowing that, Lord Jesus, you've made a way for me. And I won't let anything persuade me otherwise. Any person, any situation, any problem. You said, Lord, that you would provide. And I'm looking to your promised word to do so. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for dealing with our lives and our bodies and for bringing us thus far. Thank you for standing with the promises that you promised to our father Abraham. Help us to, Lord, stand true to that. And not let nothing hinder us. Nothing get in our way. Thank you for it all, Father. Touch those that are sick. Lord, you said by your stripes, we have word for it. We're healed. We don't have to accept Satan's lie. We can fight him. But Lord, all you want us to do is to reach out and take that step. But as soon as you know that we'll stand, then you'll stay our hands. You'll say, I'll take it from here. What we can't do, Lord, you will do. Be with us, Lord. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it means so much to us to be able to share these things, that we can be stronger when we leave here. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. I want to live the way He wants me to live, and I want to give until there's just no more to give. Lord, I want to love, love till there's just no more love, for I can never, ever outlove the Lord. Yes, I want to live the way He wants me to live. Oh Lord, I want to give until there's just no more to give, and I want to love. Lord, let me love till there's just no more love, for I could never, ever outlove the Lord. You know, sometimes we run across things in our lives and we don't know how to answer it. But just remember, He said, I got you. You're Abraham's seed. And I am bound to protect you because I promised him. And because I told him I'll do it, I'll take care of you too. That promise that I gave him applies to the seed of Abraham. That's us. And you can never give up enough. You can never surrender enough. Oh my goodness. God bless you, sis.
Man, that's a powerful message. Just thinking, you know, I love seeing what God did in those times, but He's doing the exact same thing now in our everyday lives.
That's right.
You know, people can say, oh, Satan got a hit on me or whatever. And I don't even like talking about him. As a matter of fact, my daughter asked me a couple weeks ago, she said, do you guys even believe in the devil? Well, kind of. I mean, he's alive, but
he's real.
He's nothing to us.
But he don't mean nothing to us.
And I'm putting my foot down.
Right.
You got nothing on me. I have the God of Abraham
That's
in
it.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
I can tear down walls.
Yeah.
I can claim things.
March around your city.
I can take people.
That's
I
right.
I can get rid of things. And I can bring things. And that's my life. That's my testimony. And I'm just reminding that stupid little
chicken
devil where he's at in my life. But we were singing that song earlier this morning, that line in the sand. And I'm going to be on the right side that line in the sand. And, you know, because we all deal with stuff, but that bird can make a nest in my head or he cannot. And I'm here. I believe this word. I believe everything that comes on the pulpit. I believe everything that is testified here. Amen.
You never know. Last time I end up preaching Sunday night, I'm just not saying a word. But come back and we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Yes, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen to this. I don't think the words are Satan's like a roaring lion roaring to and fro.
seeking who he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls has been his prey to fall in some weak arm. But God has promised us today his overcoming power. Oh, yes, greater is he that is in me. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, greater is he.
So greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're dismissed.